Hare Krishna. This process is very simple. One need only be firmly convinced of by the spiritual master that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. If one decides this, he can make further progress by thinking of Krishna, chanting of Krishna, and glorifying him. There is then no doubt that such a fully surrendered devotee will receive the blessings of Lord Krishna. Srila Sarva Gaurava Bhattacharya explains this further. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarvayoga Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhattacharya Gahi Deva Nathaya Visha Tumore Prabhura Avisha Avisha Hari Deva Vishara. Finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "My dear King, do not worry. Full of your firm determination, I am sure that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy will definitely be bestowed upon you." Namaste, Sarasati Devi, Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Sarvabhauma class on Sri Chaitanya Chaitanya. We continue with the wonderful pastimes of King Bhattagurujas. Did firm, previously we heard last week, was the firm Dutta, his firm determination to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even to the point that unless he did receive that mercy, he would end his life. And this reminds us of similar Dritta Vrata that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had also risen in accepting Gaura Goswami's Babaji as his spiritual master under instructions from his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaura Goswami's Babaji wasn't interested. He said to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, "Let me ask Mahaprabhu." So then Bhaktisiddhanta came back and said, "Oh, I forgot, sorry." Forgot to ask him. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, unless you give me your mercy, I will throw myself in the Ganges in my life. Yeah. So he heals and just built the Vata. So the same Prataparudra shows us a very important principle in spiritual life. One has to be firmly determined. Firmly determined to receive the mercy of the Guru, or firmly determined to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, no matter what impediments there may be. And without a doubt, there will be many, many impediments. Prabhupada says, as we've heard a few times, that just by desiring to take up the path of spiritual life in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada describes like declaring war on the material energy. That means the material energy is going to attack. The material energy is attacking anyway, but even more so, the material. This is the job of Maya. Yeah. The job of Maya is to make us only those who are really sincere, only Dritta Vrata. So, this firm determination, so specifically here, this firm determination to receive a very important point which is brought out in this purport, a very important aspect in spiritual life is actually receive the mercy of someone who has the mercy. Receive the mercy from someone who's gone before us. To receive the mercy of someone who is very dear to Krishna. Because it isn't just by again, it isn't just by accumulating knowledge, even about devotional principles, over and above our own practice. Over and above our own individual determination to practice sadhana, actually it's not enough. We don't have the adhikar or the strength, the spiritual strength to invoke Krishna's mercy just in our spiritual practice. It's not enough. And after some time we should realize that that actually it needs more. We need something more than our personal effort, more than our personal dripta vrata, because we are very small, we are very weak. So we need something more. More, what is that more? It's a prashad, described here in Romans. Prashad, isn't it? Khaimu prashad. We need mercy. Now that mercy won't come unless we're making 100% effort. Spiritual life means 100% effort. Not 90%. We have to eventually come to the point of being 100% determined to achieve the mercy of the Lord. 100%. If we have 80% for Krishna, that means we have 20% for the illusory energy. So eventually 100%. So in other words, the mercy, this is the principle of, it's also coming up actually, the beginning is the, Tuesday is the beginning of the month of Kartik, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Kartik, yes. Kartik, beginning on Tuesday. Yeah. So this pastime very much signifies, isn't it, Mother Yasoda, she was trying to find Krishna. And she was trying to use her own effort, wasn't it? She was trying as much as she could with all the ropes in the house, and there was many ropes in the house, because it's, they use ropes to tie the cows. It wasn't enough, and it was short by 2 inches, wasn't it? She couldn't do it. But then Krishna, seeing her effort, finally he allowed Mother Yasoda to bind that person who no one can bind. No one can bind Krishna, no one can capture Krishna except his devotees. So there was two things there. There was the effort of Mother Yasoda, and then there was Krishna's compassionate mercy, which then made everything very easy. So no doubt, Mother Yasoda was struggling very hard, trying to, you ever done that? You have two pieces of, just trying to do something you just can't reach. Yes, can't reach. So Mother Yasoda was like, she was sweating and things like that. And flowers were falling from her hair. But then all of a sudden it became very easy. So she just tied it. So there's no problem whatsoever. So similarly, we have to, we're making an effort in spiritual life. We have to make an effort. It's by making very strong effort. It's then, actually, and only then, that Krishna, through the agency of Guru, through this mercy will come, this prashad will come. If we're in any way kind of still, if we're not so determined, then the mercy won't come. Simple as that. We have to be quite determined. Just like in, we can all experience this in our practice of japa, isn't it? We can. If one is lackadaisical in japa, then you know what worst japa is, we're chanting to be engaged in the Lord's mercy, isn't it? Although please engage in the Lord's service, or please engage in your service, please engage in your service. But, you know, we've all had that before, so it's like, no, please engage in your service, please engage. Please engage me in your service, please engage. I have to be determined, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or we're doing something else. You've heard these descriptions before, as different types of japa, you know. Radar japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Dive bomb japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is that what's what the other ones are? Jibba japa, yeah, it's the worst. You go for a japa walk. I don't know why they call it a japa walk, it's a japa talk. Hare Krishna, how do you know what the word is that? Then there's another one, it's called laptop japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Laptop japa. You're not going to get the mercy of Krishna. Actually, you say it in a light-hearted way, but actually it's an offence. It's an offence to hold it in. And so this point, Rupa, this point of realising that we need something outside of us, we need this special mercy. You know? Special mercy, especially that's coming from who? Coming from the Guru. You know? Special mercy is Yeah, just also another case, another story which illustrates what it's about next, because the wife of the Pandavas, Draupadi, was it called Kunti Draupadi, what's that name? Draupadi, there's a classic story there, isn't there? We know when she was in the assembly of the Kauravas, and she was lost away to gambling by Yudhisthira, and then Dushyant, on instructions from the other Kauravas, attempted to strip her naked bosom in the assembly. So a major offence, a major religious activity. And she was looking towards everyone for help, and there was no help coming. And she was holding on to her sari with her hand, wasn't it? You know the story. But what hope did she have against Dushyant? Was it Dushyant? Yeah. He was a big, powerful warrior. No hope, but she was holding on. You know? But at some point, she realized it was useless. It was a useless. In other words, she was using all of her might, all of her energy, everything she had to actually keep her sari, obviously. But at some point she realized it was a useless endeavor, wasn't it? And then, what she... Hey, Govinda! She thought, hey, Govinda! Described that the Lord heard that plaintive cry of pure seeking, of pure determination to complete. I have nothing else in this world, right? Nothing else in this world. Her arms in the air. Then Krishna said, in other words, Janma Aishwarya Shudhadi Vee Eda Madha Madhama Navatriya Tikvatam Vai Tamma Kinchana Gautra. So this Tamma Kinchana Gautra, it's so that Krishna can easily be approached. It's connected, Krishna's can easily be approached, but not by one who doesn't have this Dhruta Vata. Yeah, but not by one who is after high birth, doing pious activities, Janma Aishu is after wealth, or is proud of their beauty. Yeah. And Krishna, one should be Tama Kinchana Gautra. And then Krishna is easily approached. Yeah. So, Devi Isha Gunamayi is described. Devi Isha Gunamayi, Mama Rastra Tadakriya, Mam Devi Upatyam Gunamayam Antam Tarentari. This divine energy of Krishna is very, very difficult to overcome. Very, very difficult to overcome. Then it describes it. But by Krishna's special mercy, and that it can become easy. Now, here specifically is being illustrated how that mercy flows. Where does that mercy come from? And specifically, it's described it comes through the mercy of the devotees, and specifically here, the mercy of the spiritual master. Yeah? Krishna's mercy flows through the guru. Yeah? Flows through the guru, or gurus. Vande gurum isha bhaktam. Flows through the principle of teacher, or flows through the principle of guru. Yeah? The mercy. If mercy, it flows. Yeah? It flows through. Just like, for instance, we can experience that it's without the mercy of the Sankirtan, without the mercy of devotees going out and giving Harinam, giving the holy name, and giving Prabhupada's books, no one's going to receive the mercy, are they? Krishna's not going to jump off the altar and go and distribute books, nor is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, the Bhaktivinoda Mahaprabhu, they made a Sankirtan trolley for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little trolley. Little Sankirtan trolley in a bag. And Jiva Ramaswamy said, it's not correct. You know. We're the ones who go out on the street. that's for us. Lord Chaitanya just engaged in Harinam, just dancing in ecstasy. That's for us to take a book bag, go out on the street. You know. So this is a very important principle in spirit. This is what makes spiritual life this way. Here, faith in this principle, this verse was quoted as well. Yasya devi prabhakti yata devi tata guru tasyeti kajita hi ata pukasanti mahatmana. So only those souls of, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, or all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So this implicit faith, in other words, in following the order of the spiritual master, then we can attain perfection. And then all the imports of Vedic knowledge. What's the ultimate import of Vedic knowledge? Krishna. Yeah? Krishna. He's the goal of the Vedas. So listen. So this is a principle that we should contemplate and understand or contemplate before we take initiation as well. We should have implicit faith that that person I'm taking initiation from is going to deliver me from the clutches of material existence. Yeah? It shouldn't be, well, I hope he's, I hope he's going to be alright. I hope. No, it should be firm determination. This person is going to rescue me from the cycle of birth and death. And then we engage in service accordingly. And this principle of the spiritual master's mercy of being the all-in-all in a spiritual life, Prabhupada describes it also as the secret of spiritual life. You've heard that, Prabhupada, many times described. This is the secret of spiritual life. I mentioned last week, it was Prabhupada was very much inspired by this verse. You know the Bhagavad Gita verse, Pudhadrata? What's that verse? Yeah, Vyasatma, Buddhist Eka. That Srila Prabhupada was reading a commentary on this verse by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes in relation to being fully dhritavrata in actually following the orders of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada found further inspiration, very strong inspiration upon reading that in his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness in the West. And there's a verse here, I read this from the fifth canto. This is Lord Rishabdev. It says, So it describes one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage by rendering service to greatly advanced spiritual personalities. One can attain that. One can attain the path of liberation, describes here, that the doors of liberation become opened only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. And the next part of this verse is quite interesting because it describes that this principle is even there for those who are following the path of impersonalism, or worshipping the impersonal aspect of Krishna, or think God is impersonal. Even they cannot achieve success. It describes whoever one wants to merge into the Lord's existence, or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead. Yeah? So I hope there's no one's aspiring to merge into Lord's existence here, yeah, I hope so. I hope not. All they want to associate the personality of God. So that principle is also there in this path as well. And even materially, although it has its limits, isn't it? This plays a role materially. If you want special instruction or special insight of how to do something, you have to get the knowledge from someone who knows. You know, someone who knows, and if they're happy, they will give more secrets, isn't it? If they're happy with your approach, they will give you a little bit more, isn't it? It's like, I remember when I started work as an apprentice carpenter, so I had to learn from someone who knew. Can you imagine if, or anything, you take an example in a job, if you like start a job and you're kind of, you've got a bee in your bonnet, and you don't give much regard to the person who's teaching you. You're like, yeah, right, all right, it's quite simple. In other words, if you have a bad attitude towards your teacher's not going to give you the full thing. are they? They're going to hold back because they're not inclined to give. You know? So that's materially. So what to speak of spiritually? You know? So even it's described, Prabhupada describes in one purport, he describes that the spiritual master doesn't have to give his mercy to his disciples. He's not, you know, even if one takes initiation, there's going to be some of all those who is initiated, there's going to be some of his initiated disciples he's going to be more inclined to give mercy because of their attitude, because of their following. Yeah? And some, but as far as special mercy, as well as the spiritual master is very merciful, actually, he wants mercy for all of his disciples. Yeah, and he will pray accordingly. But for one who has the correct mood of approach and is pleasing the spiritual master through development of their qualities of humility, then the spiritual master will bless the disciple. Yeah? And it's like, it's almost a mystical thing. Like the disciple struggling, but he has a nice attitude. So, actually, that's good. You know, if it doesn't matter if someone is struggling and they're really struggling in spiritual life, but they have a nice attitude, no problem. No problems. Don't worry. Struggling, all right, but your attitude's nice. Just keep struggling. You know, keep struggling hard. Just keep struggling. You know? And then the spiritual master is almost then. How does he know the spiritual master? Is described that he just thinks well. His heart is compassionate. Full of compassion, he just thinks, well, oh my Lord, oh Krishna, please bestow your mercy upon this person. And then it's like, then the disciple becomes enlivened with all this knowledge. Everything becomes enlivened. You know? And all the spiritual master has done is just, because he's so dear to Krishna, he just thinks, well, please, struggling so hard, and he becomes easy. Yeah? So, one should render service to the Mahatmas. Then it describes this verse, this goes, Tamo Dhuvyam Yusati Sanghi Sangam. For those who are not interested in such activities, instead associate with people who are fond of women and sex, basically gross materialistic people, then another door is open. What door is that?
Hell.
Hell, yeah. Door to hell. Described it. Yeah. After hell, what's the word? The way here, yeah, the translation, the way to the dungeon of the dark, hellish condition of life. So if you associate with people who are enamored and absorbed in sense gratification, then you're opening the door to the hellish, to the dungeon of the dark, hellish condition of life. Go on. And then this verse describes the symptoms of these great souls. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They're very peaceful and fully engaged in devotional service. They're devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such persons are known as Mahatmas. And there's another verse in this regard, quoted by Jad Bharat to Maharaj Shrahugana. Anyone knows that verse? When you really recognize it. Raganai tatta pasama yadi na chittaya neva banat prihabba na chandasa naiva jalakni sunyai vina mahat pado ujo vishetam. So this is Jad Bharat. So we know the story of Jad Bharat when he meets King Rahugana. He's carrying a palanquin, engaging a palanquin, and Jad Bharat, and he's been forced to carry the palanquin, and he sees ants. He's making sure he doesn't want to trip on any ants, so he's moving to the side, and so you can imagine the palanquin's going up and down, and the king eventually fires a volley of abuse and criticism at Jad Bharat, and Jad Bharat is described, then begins explaining Atma Tattva, how actually you have said, you know, I am, you know, describes you have said this about my body, but it's actually true, because, you know, I'm not my body. You've called me, you know, useless. Actually, it's true. This body is useless. It comes into being, and it stays for some time, and then it goes. So actually, you're right. This body is useless. Anyway, it describes all this wonderful spiritual knowledge about Atma Tattva, and the king becomes completely enlightened. So much so that eventually he gives up being a king, actually, it's gross, and he renounces everything, becomes a mendicant, yeah, this, under the direction of Jan Barrow. So then he asks him, how do you get this knowledge? He's intrigued, so much wonderful knowledge is coming from Jan Barrow. And so then Maharaj Bhakti describes, Raghunath Tattva Prasadiyati describes that, let's get it here. It is, so my dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of a lotus, from the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. Yeah, so sometimes this is, the question is asked, what does this mean? Does this mean literally that you get this dust from a spiritual master? Yes, it does. It means you do that at some point whenever you get a chance. Whenever you see the spiritual master shoes, you should take the dust, right, over your head. You know, you get the opportunity. But also it means following the principles, or following the orders, and following the instructions of the spiritual master. In other words, by following the orders of the guru, we are smearing his dust over our soul, so to speak. Understand? So we're following the instructions, like we're bathing. Yeah. Unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. Then it goes, one cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing brahmacharya. So, any brahmacharyas here? No. Cannot realize the absolute truth by becoming brahmacharya. Cannot realize the absolute truth by following all the rules and regulations of household life perfectly. Nor leaving home as a vanaprastha, nor taking danda, nor taking sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. See that? They do that. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. So again, this is on the same principle we've described before. Even our practice of sadhana is not enough. Our practice of brahmacharya, our practice of being grihastha. And then another verse, in the 7th canto, by Prahlad Maharaj, this is 7532, Yes. Kinchinana 7532. Again, unless they smear upon their, so Prahlad says the same thing. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust. Yeah, who is Prahlad Maharaj instructing here? His father, yeah. Hiranyakashipu, he's given nice instructions to Hiranyakashipu. What's the question that his father asks him to invoke this answer from Prahlad?
Where did you get this power from?
Where did you get this power from to disobey me? Where did you get such audacity? So Prahlad goes, describes, my dear father, unless you smear your body with the dust of, unless one smears their bodies with the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely free from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be free from material contamination. Well, Lord explains the same thing. Is there any questions or comments in this place? Miss Alexis, is there a microphone?
Maybe it's not a new question, but just something that I've been meditating on for the last days. Say, the only way we can grow spiritually if we do face obstacles and headwinds on our spiritual path, and that's how we develop determination. But sometimes the situation is such that it appears like it's inconquerable, we can't really push through. I'm just wondering, how can one know whether Krishna is checking his determination, or he's actually saying that you're moving slightly in the wrong direction? To what extent you should push, or when perhaps you should reconsider and stop and think that I think you shouldn't go there?
I think there's two points you bring up there, actually. We should always be determined to get the mercy of Krishna, or determined in our spiritual practice, in our spiritual life. The circumstances, the specific circumstances in which we're trying to execute a particular service, for instance, we might be trying to serve the Lord in a particular way, but despite our best efforts, despite our best endeavor, in one sense, your answer, in your question indicates the answer. It means that we should then perhaps consult. Oh, it's not. Doesn't seem to be happening this way. You know, so perhaps we should change our tactic. You know, for example, I think devotees were. I think some correct me if I'm wrong, but they was preaching in one place, and they wasn't getting much reciprocation. So, Prabhupada. In one sense, you could say, if they asked Prabhupada what to do, you could say, in one sense, Prabhupada could have easily said, just pray to Krishna and keep and carry on. But Prabhupada said, well, just leave there. Go somewhere else. You understand? Both answers would have been right, but time, place, and circumstance. So, based on just one should use one's intelligence, one should consult. In other words, when the spiritual master gives an instruction, we do have to use our intelligence as well. I don't know if I'm answering the question exactly. An example of this is this story where it's one guru, and he tells his disciple, his guru is traveling on an elephant, and they're going to a place of pilgrimage. So they're carrying all the belongings of the guru. You heard this? Carrying all the belongings of the guru. And he says, so anything that falls off the elephant, you please pick it up. So the disciples fired up, you know. Yes, Gurudev. So, you know, Gurudev drops his pot, falls off the elephant. So he runs and picks it up. And the elephant passes fall. So he runs and picks it up. Picks up all the elephant's fall. And then he gets to the destination. He's a foolish disciple. Anyway, we have to use our intelligence. We have to use our intelligence. So that answers your question. Did I answer your question? When we follow the orders of the spiritual.
Is it important to remember that it's the order of spiritual master? How we just can do it and just do it, that's all.
No, we should remember, it's good to recall, actually. It's good to reflect that I've been given a specific order from my spiritual master. I don't know if you answered the question exactly. You should. That's what kept Prabhupada going, amongst other things, faith in the holy name. also, that was the orders of his spiritual master to preach in the West. And he wasn't whimsical about that. He took that very, very seriously. You know? The orders of the spiritual master. You heard that as well, that the orders of the spiritual master are the life and soul for the disciple. So Prabhupada's life and soul was following the orders of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he always held that within his heart, you know. And as you described, that the determination to follow those orders, that's actually the purification of spiritual life, you know, when we get purified. Is that?
So you're saying that we get the mercy by developing the correct attitude and relationship to the spiritual master.
Yes.
So could you say that attitude is determination to give the instructions of the spiritual master?
It's all the devotional qualities. It's humility, determination, the correct behavior. It reminds me, yes, there's many qualities, but determination. But that determination, it shouldn't be, you know, it's, and you can explain, it's not like a feverish, passionate determination.
Good day, give your mercy to
us. Understand? It's determination to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness and develop a determination to chant the holy name of the Lord, which all good qualities come. Reminds this verse why a Sutta Goswami was chosen to speak by the sages of Naram Sharanya. And they describe, because you are submissive, and because you are gentle and submissive, your spiritual masters have bestowed upon you all the truths of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, you can tell us scientifically what you have learned from them. Because you are gentle and submissive, your spiritual masters have bestowed upon you all the secrets of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, you speak. Therefore, you speak.
So this is another point. You're saying how some the spiritual master has some disciples that are closer to him because they have the correct attitude.
Yes, yes.
So does that mean that those disciples are more sincere than the ones who aren't so close? Or
closeness is not physical proximity as well. It's a spiritual principle. Mm-hmm. Just like there's many flies in the lap of the king. Proper, you know, so the first thing is it's not a physical. It's it's just only natural, you know, that some are, you know, even if one takes initiation, that in other words, initiation means the beginning. You know, but it doesn't mean, so it's only natural that the spiritual master is inclined to give mercy. Prabhupada says, he says, the spiritual master doesn't, it's not as if, you know, some he will give mercy, and some are not really, he's compassionate upon all his disciples, and he wishes them well, no doubt, and he prays for their mercy, even if they may go, wayward, he's always thinking of their welfare and praying for their benefit, no doubt. But obviously those disciples who are following the principles of Krishna consciousness, then the mercy will more flow, more easily be appreciated and more flow. You understand? It will more... Any Krishna Vidhi Guru? Yeah, anyone know that as a particular group sure. Has? Yeah, I don't know the story.
Like, if by the time I clap my hands, Krishna wouldn't be
Yeah, Draupadi, when she... speak in the microphone.
Yeah, I wanted to ask whether this, what she was doing, she makes it much better difficult. Was this, was attracting Krishna's mercy also?
What attracted Krishna's mercy was?
But also the, her endeavor, like in the case of Madhavi Ashoda.
No, I can't really correlate that example exactly. It doesn't quite work. That doesn't kind of out of context a little bit. You know? But it's when she gave up. It's when she realized that actually she tried her best effort, but when she realized she needed Krishna's mercy at that point. Kalasu, last question.
The last time I heard about Draupadi was that it was a road of tears that Draupadi created.
It was?
Road of tears.
Road of tears.
Yeah, her crying mood, by which Krishna was so attracted that he immediately came and helped. Because during that time he was far away in Dwarka, and Rukmini was asking, there's devotee, and she's asking for your help. And she said, I cannot go there, because that's too far. And as soon as there was this attitude of, you know, there's no other hope, then Krishna immediately was able to get there and help her. So this part I heard, and I hope I understood it properly.
Yeah.
Excuse me if I might misrepresent something.
That's nice.
I have a question. Please also don't try to misunderstand me. It's not a challenge, but how do we understand this principle that one is servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and at the same time, one achieves mercy only by the mercy of a pure devotee. So, if our servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, let's say, has some conditioning, that means also there might be also mercy might not flow fully because there's this condition inside. Conditioning inside. So I wonder how this principle would work in such case.
It's just like we may not be we may not be fully purified, but still the mercy flows through us in bringing persons to Krishna consciousness in giving them one of Prabhupada's books. Yeah? So in other words, if one is following the orders of the spiritual master, yeah, they are a reciprocant of Krishna's mercy, and the mercy of the parampara is flowing through them. Yeah, they are simply following. They may or may not be on the highest perfection of devotion, but Krishna doesn't make that they are sincerely trying, and they're sincerely linked to the guru and parampara. So Krishna prasad vibhaya is actually coming down through the guru. Yeah? It actually comes down for the disciplic succession, and one can receive the mercy of Krishna through that. This principle, you know, this is a kind of become more, you know, discussion on how pure is he and things like that. Pure enough, Prabhupada said. In regards to Lord Brahma, there's discussion about Lord Brahma and this and that happened, you know. Prabhupada said, but he's you know, he's the head of our parampara. Prabhupada said he's pure enough. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you, Raj, Shri Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Rita Gita, Shri Chaitanya, Gita, Shri Chaitanya,
three devotees who went out yesterday to collect Srila Prabhupada's mercy and distribute Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Starting with Bhakta Lawrence, who collected 21 Lakshmi coins, distributed 3 small 5 medium books for 3.25 book coins. Bhakta Vins, who's Bhakta Vins? Collected 49 Lakshmi, distributed 67 small books for 16.75 book coins. And Bhakta Alexei collected 50 Lakshmi coins, distributed 20 small, 1 medium, 6 Mahabik for 17.5 book coins.